Yeah, nobody wants a poor dude. Go away, you're poor. Also, same goes for the uglies. Like, get out of here.
Welcome back to the Brumar Show. This is the show where we talk about things that are trending in internet culture and also living life as a guy in his 20s. I am your host, and go ahead and make sure you follow the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. Also, don't forget to follow the podcast on social media on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, which is at The Brumar Show. And I'm sifting through some of these very old school episodes from The Brumar Show. This was around a time when it didn't even exist, or it wasn't even necessarily a thing. But we're going to sift through some of these here in just a couple moments. But first, let me go ahead and find a topic to talk about here. I might as well just get on with it. So I'm over here just looking through college rants because me knowing your boy went to university, went to college, which was great experience, not going to lie. Would have definitely had a little more fun for sure. But I wasn't really as experienced back then. I was pretty young, had no direction in life, and I thought college was the best option at the time. And come to find out, I could have just made my own choice and decided to do something else with it, like work at a restaurant or in fine dining. But that's besides the point. We're here now. We're going to go ahead and take a look at the subreddit called r/collegerant. And in this subreddit, it's basically college students just ranting about their college life. Your boy used to be a college student, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to connect with whatever they have to rant about for sure. And if you are currently in school or in college, you would definitely feel the same in what I'm getting ready to look at and read here. So let's see. Oh, this was an interesting one. So my advisor gave me terrible advice freshman year, so now I might have to stay an extra year in college. I had made it clear to my advisor that I was going to transfer from my school, and in the school I'm currently going, it is very common to transfer to the 4-year nearby. The school is literally 10 steps away from our school. I would say 75% of students transfer there. I had a strict plan to graduate in 3 years or less. By the time I was in my first class, I had already made a 3-year plan, every single class planned. My advisor gave me advice, and of course, I took it because I was just a freshman. I have been reviewing my plan after every semester. However, I would skip courses that I felt were clearly required. This semester, in reviewing my plan, it looks like I took basically one semester of bullshit courses that are useless. This was the only semester I had him as my advisor, and he fucked me. I would paraphrase that because for all I know, that sounds exactly like what a lot of us are thinking. I am fucked. I can't afford this shit. I literally have to go 1 year back to fix this shit. Looks like I am taking 20 plus credits next year. Oh, yeah, that is a lot of credit hours. I actually ended up taking 20 plus credit hours before, and it's not fun for sure. And on top of that, I was music director for the college radio station, and it was fun. That's actually what kept me pretty sane, I'm not gonna lie, for a jazz station. But yeah. I honestly would like to say I am thankful that I had some decent advisors. They were pretty flexible with my graduation time. Now, this person had a specific goal in mind, and that is to graduate in 3 years or less. Now, the thing is, I'm assuming that this more than likely was an associate's degree or a community college they were going at, because in 3 years or less, I mean, that's where majority of associate's degree, how much they take. They take about roughly 2 to 3 years. 4 years, I would say, now you're looking at a bachelor's degree. So, I actually get it now. I get it. Now, in this case, he said, however, I would skip courses that felt were clearly required. I don't think, well, the username, just gave it away. Their username is I Can't Spell Alone. And it looks like there's a lot of grammar issues here too. It was to the point that I had to edit them to make it seem grammatically correct. So when he meant or she meant that they would skip courses that felt were clearly required, does that mean like this person made the decision or was it the advisor? Because at this point, it's kind of on you for putting yourself in that situation. But if it was the advisor that told you, hey, don't worry about the required courses, we'll take care of that later. Yeah, that actually is bad advice on the advisor's end, and for sure, a shitty advisor. But if you, as an individual, made the executive decision to skip those courses that felt were clearly required, then it's on you. No other way. And I really can't relate too much to this about advisors because I didn't have bad advisors, actually. I had decent ones. The thing that sucked about it is that they kept switching advisors every academic year. And it was just really weird because I'm not sure if they know the professors, if they know the type of courses I'm taking, like what it entails, like which courses would they recommend taking first and which ones are easier. They don't know none of that when there's like a bunch of advisors just rotating around every academic year, which I would say that was the only downfall. But other than that, they didn't do a bad job of keeping me on track to graduating on time. But if your advisor was the one that made that decision that, oh, don't worry about these required courses, then yeah, shitty advisor for sure. But when I was in college, I tried my best to get as many of the required courses out as I could. And I took care of the rest of the gen eds during my third or fourth year in college. And I guess a rule of thumb here is this. And this also applies if you are in high school. I don't think there really isn't any high schoolers listening to this, but this is what I used to do back in high school. So I would take care of the required stuff first. So if they required to take the biology class and the English class and the math class, basically the way they did it at our district is that we had a thing called the Core 40, in which we had to take a Core 40 exam for math and English. And it was required to pass both of those exams. And if we didn't pass them, we had to take them again junior year or senior year, and you have to pass them in order for you to graduate. So that's one requirement. The other requirement is that you have to have 42 credit hours at least before you graduate. And honestly, the first thing I did was I took care of the Core 40 exams. I just ended up passing it the first time and not having to worry about it, which, by the way, was the best feeling ever. And then I realized that is the best decision I made in my whole entire life. Because, I mean, I saw other people every year retaking them, and they had to worry about whether they're going to graduate or not. Me, I didn't worry too much because I was like, all right, I got all the Core 40 exams taken care of, all passed, all pretty much on sophomore year. Junior year, took a bunch of art classes and then a Spanish class, which, I mean, easy class for me. And then senior year, I took a block class, in which was the culinary arts program. And it was a 3-credit-hour class, and ta-da, I accomplished all 42 credits. I actually ended up graduating with, I think, 48, maybe 50 credits, because I was just basically taking classes that I like to take. But yeah, your advisor, if they suggested that, yeah, they were a shitty advisor for sure. Let's see, I don't know what to do with this class. Okay, I don't know either. Oh, failed my finance exam. Oh, let's talk about this because I actually took a finance course when I was in college. And let me tell you, finance, you just have to be really obsessed with numbers in order for you to pass this class. I'm just going to say, I just like to look at numbers go up and numbers go down. But you have to have like an extremely astronomical amount of passion in numbers. And a lot of the Chinese students actually were in this class too, which majority of them were just finance majors, which not a bad major. So this person failed their finance exam and they felt pretty depressed. They studied everything that was supposed to be on the test and ended up failing somehow. There were a lot of true and false questions on the final that their professor never mentioned. They studied really hard, and for what? Honestly, she or he would have just withdrawn from the course when they saw the rate of the professor score. But they had hope. Oof. they just hope someone else can relate. It is really depressing to retake a class. It is. It is depressing to retake a class. Luckily, I didn't have to retake finance because what I've heard is the main professor from finance wasn't really the best guy and a bit of a D-bag. The finance professor I had, though, was actually cool as shit. And I'm glad I had him as a professor. And it's funny because then he would take jabs at the main finance professor, supposedly. But this guy actually got me through it, learned a lot. Well, I learned enough to actually pass the course with a C. But that's when I realized I didn't have that much passion for numbers. And I'm just like, well, I just hope I do not become somebody's financial advisor because I would give them the wrong advice. But yeah, finance is a pain. And yeah, they hope you get a better professor next time. That time value of money stuff was not my strong suit. The whole class was confusing for me. The school requires a C- or above to get the credit or no credit. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's actually how it was at my school too. You had to have a C- minus to get credit or no credit. I think the D, I think it, you technically do pass the class, but it does affect your GPA a little bit, or not a little bit, but a lot. It actually does something to it, but I think you can still pass it with a D apparently. I'm not sure. Anyway, honestly, this is all I have in regards to this story here, but yeah, send in your college rants to me and I'll read them soon in a different episode. So I was sifting through some of these old school episodes I had when I first started podcasting. This was when Bromar Show was not official. I was just talking about all kinds of things and really weird stuff, but it was basically an episode where I talked about how there was this gal who had advice on how to bag a billionaire. And you're gonna notice throughout the episode or the recording here is that back then when I produced that episode, I had a little bit of a jaded, maybe angry mentality from the comments I make about that. But now thinking on it, it's like, hey, you go, girl, like you go ahead and you do you. I mean, you bagging the money, as long as I get some money, it's all good. Which if you think about it, I mean, a lot of gals do this. Like they'll just find some rich sugar daddy, and then they'll bring the money to the guy that they actually like, that they're interested in, that they care about, which is their broke BF or their deadbeat baby daddy. Oh, man. So I'll go ahead and let the episode play here. And as soon as this episode finishes, let me know what you think. All right.
Found this article here on Barstool Sports in which you're going to be really, really mad about this. It's basically about an Instagram model that teaches a class for women on how to bag a billionaire and never having to work. I mean, that right there, you know how feminists get triggered about certain things you mentioned? Yeah, this is one of those, except, you know, it's for guys. Or I guess they call it shattering our masculinity or our fragile ego. It's what it's called. our masculinity is so fragile to this. It's one of those things. So, essentially, it's bits and pieces from stuff she shared on the New York Post or on the Times, and it's just a Barstool staff member just commenting it and trying to be all funny, but it doesn't really seem to be working this way. In fact, seems like it's gearing a little bit on the offensive side. So it starts off with one of the New York Post saying that Anna Bay can teach you how to bag your own billionaire without having to put any work to it. And apparently it's an open and honest way to it. And she founded her business, JetSitBabe.com, and teaches women how to bag their own billionaire. And Barstool staff here comments and says, love Bay, totally support this, yada yada yada, what are you supposed to do, slave away at a job you hate, try to make ends meet, yada yada yada, men want beautiful women, you are a beautiful woman, it's so easy, just say okay, I'll travel around the world on your yacht, boom, done. Now this actually reminds me of I don't know if you ever listened to Tom Likas. He has his own radio show in Los Angeles. I'm not sure if he still does today, but it's been going on for quite a while, and his show is geared towards men, and some of the topics he brings up has to do with so-called gold diggers, or women like these, trying to bag a billionaire without having to put any work into it. And one of his ideologies is that, I mean, if you're hot, you're pretty, you can pretty much get anything you want. You don't have to pay for anything. So, and this now is from the Times, where she basically talks about it's hard to go back to your normal lifestyle once you had exposure to the luxurious life. Oh, and a luxurious life account followed me. I'm not going to share the account information because this is just very terrible timing. So essentially, it just goes back and forth from quotes what she says, and then a Barstool employee or staff tries to make a joke out of it. For example, yeah, nobody wants a poor dude. Go away. You're poor. Also, same goes for the uglies. Like, get out of here. And this is to her comment that she says she could never fall in love with a man who wasn't wealthy. That screams gold digger status right there, my gal. Like, don't try to justify it. So in this other section of the Times, she talks about how she's pro plastic surgery because it's more appealing to the average rich dude. It can also improve your life quality, and it can help you attract a higher quality of partner. So one thing about here, where it says it can help you attract a higher quality of partner. Now, I don't think that statement is necessarily true. You see, if pro-plastic surgery, if you use this to make yourself more attractive, you're going to be attracting the most shallow people out there. Like people that only care about looks. And you never know if they have a really shitty personality. And some even have said that's the main reason they like to look all attractive and everything, so they can just mask in their personality, in which, I mean, it's kind of deep if that's what it comes down to it. And then also another thing, I'm not sure if all guys think like this, but I'm willing to bet that here you have, you know, girls like Anna Bae, not all girls, but, you know, just, you know, her, just doing all this stuff for attention and for the money and all this mess, just so they can be stuck up pricks. And majority of the guys just see her as some piece of meat, you know, just kind of objectify her. It's like they don't see her as wifey material or trophy wife, you know, they just see her as a side chick or just some girl he can DM his dick pic to. By the way, don't do that. Like, I actually even feel uncomfortable sending my own dick pic. So whenever a chick ever requests for one, it's like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand. So more quotes from the Times are inserted here, thinking about how working should not be forced upon women in high society, yada, 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 and they shouldn't be judged if they're not working. And then another thing she quoted here is the School of Affluence offers her this fast-paced program to the high life or whatever, and in these classes teaches her how to behave in certain situations where rich people hang out, all this mess stuff she wishes to know a tad bit earlier. And she said in the beginning, in the past, she believed that she wasn't really behaving trashingly, but she could have been more refined or updated, I guess. She was using stuff like bad language, used to get drunk, and that's not classy. Now, Jesus Christ on a cross, that's not classy. Well, first of all, teaching women on how to bag a billionaire without having to work and not having to work, that's probably the least classiest thing. That's not even in the classy scale. That's definitely a new level of trashy. Now, let me just tell you about money. It just gives you more freedom and more access to do trashier things. And only that, and becoming trashy is an option once you have money. And she ends her article with, yeah, I'm pro-equality, yada, yada, yada. But in the animal kingdom and in humans, gender roles exist. And men should be the providers because it's their instinct and it's basically their masculinity. This article definitely shattered my masculinity. And women express their femininity in other ways. And then blend those together, biggest loser will be the women. I don't know about that. Now, I'm not saying that one has it better than the other. I think we both have different struggles because men and women are different. We're not necessarily the same. We're just different. Like, yes, we bleed the same blood and all this mess, but like our way of thinking is just two separate things. We're more physical because that's apparently, according to her, we're providers, and women are more emotional because they like to express their femininity in other ways. So, yeah.
All right, so that pretty much is going to do it for me. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you go ahead and follow the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. And also go ahead and follow The Bromar Show on Instagram, which is at The Bromar Show. And that's going to do it for me. Until next time.